Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So I'm on my way to the Stadion and then Alten Försterei. That's the stadium at the Old Foresters Cottage. Normally best enjoyed with a little walk through the woods. Unfortunately, I got caught in a Berlin thunderstorm. I'm a bit late and just looked in my wallet and the only cash I've got is Turkish lira. But I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm off to meet a few fans who are super excited about it and probably equally wet. This is one of the biggest days of Union's history. They're playing Europa League, having played UEFA Conference League last season. So they're a competition up, thanks to a late Taiwo Awoniyi parting gift before he left for Nottingham Forest. And because of a UEFA edict to trial safe standing, which only came through about 3 weeks ago, it means that rather than last season's European games, which they had to play at Hertha's stadium, the Olympiastadion, which is obviously huge, miles from the pitch and not theirs, they get to play it at the rather more intimate setting of Köpenick, their home. So there will be standing, there will be noise, there will be another Union, there will be Union Saint-Gilloise, who of course nearly won the Belgian League last season, gave Rangers a bit of difficulty in the Champions League qualifiers as well before Rangers eventually batted them aside at Ibrox. So two clubs that have come a very, very long way in a very short time. Bring the rain on. We're ready for it because the excitement and the fire is going to put it all out. Now this is the brilliant bit about walking through the forest on the way to the game. You get a bit of shelter from the elements, which is quite nice. So horrendous traffic, decided to walk the rest, which I'm not sure I would have done actually. Was I not able to take this beautiful scenic route in which you get only mildly wet as opposed to absolutely effing soaked. But we're nearly there. And the minute I come out the forest, I know the atmosphere will be building. And as we said, there was Union as well as Union to consider. The visitors from Belgium were anticipating a big night too, having gone from second tier to near league champions to being in Europe again in the blink of an eye. I spoke to one of them, ramble listener Jeroen Snijers, fonds to his friends under the shelter of a suitably large tree outside the first array.
How long have you guys waited for something like this, and did you think it would ever happen?
I don't know. I mean, it's been, first of all, it's been a long time since we've been in the first division.
Yeah.
To begin with, I guess only last year we came up from the second division after 48 years, I think.
Yeah.
And we nearly did the unthinkable by winning the title, but just narrowly missed out. But yeah, it's been a dream. So I knew I had to go because I'm a sucker for some cult football. And in Belgium, you can't find any more cult than Union Saint-Gilles. And in Germany, you don't find them any more cults than Union Berlin.
Yeah.
So it's a once in a lifetime, and I knew I had to go. It's my first European away game ever.
Yeah.
Because originally I'm not an Union fan. I'm a Lierse fan.
Right.
Lierse from the legendary Leeds games in the 70s. But if I have to wait for a European game from Lierse, I'll probably be dead.
But you would have said that a couple of years ago about Union, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. But so last year when they looked like they were going to win the title, I managed to get some tickets. And they really pulled me in.
Yeah.
Because I would say, a success supporter. But how many of them do European away games? So I think I've earned it.
So what makes the club so special? How did it draw you in, as you say?
Well, it's as I say, I'm a sucker for some cults. So their stadium, it's immensely old, but it's absolutely gorgeous. Mm. It's got the front, well, the face of the stadium, I guess. It's protected. It's heritage. It's absolute a piece of beauty, and the rest of the stadium, because it's in a park. Mm. You can't even reach the big stand on the far side from behind, because it's woods. It's
like here, woods. Really.
Yeah, but there it really looks like the stadium is being eaten by the woods. you cannot walk around the stadium like in a normal stadium, because you'd be in a forest, literally. You have to go. You have to get to the main stand on the other side via the front stand.
Okay.
So everyone has to get in via the front stand, which is a bit of a shit show every once in a while. But it's absolutely gorgeous, and it's a real pity they can't play their home games in Europe there this year. They have to go to Leuven. But I was there for the home game against Rangers, and the atmosphere there was incredible as well. So that wouldn't be a problem at all. But yeah, it's been a bit of a cliche, but it's been a roller coaster for them. I'm just glad to be here.
I guess it's something to work towards in terms of playing at your own stadium, because until a few weeks back, this Union Berlin thought they would be playing at the Olympiastadion.
Yeah, because
like they were last year.
Yeah, because it's only this year allowed as a test project by the UEFA
pilot
to allow terracing.
Yeah,
and. But yeah, the stadium in Union in Brussels, it's really old, and it's nearly unfit for just Belgian football.
Yeah.
So I get it, but it's a shame because it's gorgeous. But and as I say, the main stand, the front of the main stand, it's heritage, so it's really not easy to renovate or improve the stadium.
Yeah,
because it's really hard to get the permissions or anything. Yeah, basically anything done to it.
I don't know about you, but when I come to Union, and maybe later down the line when I come to Belgium to see Union Saint-Gilloise as well, you kind of feel that maybe this is what football needs a little bit more of today in the era of the Super League. I mean, this night is genuinely special, isn't it?
Yeah, it's two of the oldest traditional clubs, I think, in Europe still. Because I think Union was founded in 1906. Union Saint-Gilles was founded in 1897, I think.
Wow.
So it's like the third oldest club in Belgium.
Well, that's it. When people say about clubs having history, they often mean successful history, but that's not really what football history is about at all, is it?
No, of course not. Even though Union is technically the third most successful team in Belgian history, yeah. but they've won all of their 11 titles before the Second World War.
Yeah.
So it's ancient history.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a club of the people, because in Brussels, of course, there's Anderlecht as the big club, the main club. But Union Saint-Gilles is the club of the little man. And like Union, they're quite left-wing, I would say. One of their big slogans is "Love football, hate racism." Mm. And so I think we would mix very well around here.
Before I let you in to go into the away fan, the away end with your friends, because obviously there's 550 of you here today, I've got to ask, because Luke wouldn't forgive me if I didn't, how important was Christian Burgess in nearly winning the title?
Oh, it was fundamental, because he's a rock at the back. Last year, mainly with Makita, this year with Ross Sykes. But he's been instrumental. He's been immense. Literally and figuratively, but the whole team, they've outdone themselves.
Well, I think we can hear that in the background. We better get in there and check it out, hadn't we?
Yeah.
And inside, well, it was worth waiting for. As I made my way through to the already packed terraces some half hour before kickoff, I stopped to speak to Oliver Jauer, a writer for the Union blog, Textile Vergeyen, and also a third generation supporter of the club.
Hey Oliver, how are you?
I'm happy.
You're happy?
Yes.
Well, it's home, isn't it?
Yes, it's finally here.
So how was it at the Olympiastadion last year, for the Euro Games?
Not that bad. So it felt all right, but it didn't feel like here.
Did you ever think it would happen here?
No, absolutely no chance. I never thought that the UEFA would move, that there is any chance that we get to see something like this.
Union's such an incredibly special club, with that connection between the fans, the players, the wider community. What is it that's made it so special? And how important do you think it is to have a club like this at the top level of the game now, when there's a lot wrong at the top level of the game?
I don't think it matters at all where we are playing. It's important that we are playing, that we are here for each other.
Yeah.
I mean, this is incredible. It's not just, you know, a cake. Yeah. It's a cake with icing, and so I think it's good for the bigger leagues or for the broader football community to see that there is like a possibility to do it differently, that you can have, you know, like a club that focuses on the interests of the fans and says everything we are doing has as the first goal the stadium experience. This is the statement from our president. So I guess it's a hopeful sign, but I don't think anybody here cares.
Are you still getting used to competing with Bayern and competing in European competition? Is it still a bit weird?
Yes. So it's like the first 2 years in the Bundesliga, it was completely unreal. So I always had like a biorhythm that was synced to Bundesliga 2.
Yeah.
And I think right now we are getting used to it, but it's impossible to get used at how good we are right now.
Yeah.
How good we are playing. That's crazy.
I mean, there must have been so many highlights over the last couple of years.
Yes.
When you think going up here against Stuttgart.
Yes.
When you think winning the first Berlin derby here when Sebastian Polter scored.
Yes, you were
and
here.
Tonight.
I was. Yeah.
What ranks where? Which is the best moment?
Well, the best moment is Stuttgart, of course. The Hertha game ranks for me quite low because it was so stressful, so aggressive.
Right.
So it's not even in the top. And this could be one of the games that could go up there at least at spot two.
But it's the occasion, not the result, right?
Yes, it's the occasion. It's experiencing the first real European Cup game here ever. So that's crazy.
Well, in that case, I'm going to let you go and enjoy it with your friends. Thanks
Thank
so
you.
Much for joining me.
Thank you.
No disrespect to either team, that it would be the fans that are providing the spectacle, the noise here tonight. That's definitely been the case in the first half hour. On the pitch, it's been pretty cagey. And it's easy to forget, for these two teams, it is an absolutely huge deal to even be here, to be in European competition. So it feels as if no one wants to make a mistake. Everyone's being very, very careful. Union Berlin in particular, maybe playing a little bit within themselves so far. They've created the best openings, but Anthony Morris in the Union Saint-Gilloise goal, not really been solicited to any extent so far. Goal for the visitors. Mildly against the run of play on the counter attack. And they had a 3-on-2, Union Saint-Gilloise. And it was Senelin and he finished it off pretty well for the back post. And Fontenot, pals from Belgium, looking pretty happy.
39th
Spielminute, Tor von Royal Union Saint-Gilloise. Torschütze with the Nummer 20, Sen Gülün. Maybe Union Berlin could do half-time a bit, actually. Even though the crowd are still up, since the goal, they're in this kind of slumber. No tempo to the game. Not really able to get anything going in the final third. Quite ponderous in the ball in their own half as well, which has caused them a few dangerous moments. So Urs Fischer, I suspect, would like a little word with them. Forward! Forward! Forward!
Das war 1005 Halbzeitstand in der Partie. Erster FC Union Berlin gegen Union Saint-Gilloise.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Here just over the top for Union Saint-Gilloise, who, despite the efforts of the home crowd to lift Union Berlin, have been the better side of visitors in the second half so far. Vanti has had a few little moments. Cross came in for him from the left. He beat Runner, the goalkeeper, to the ball. Header just a little bit too hard and landed on top of the net. But on the pitch, Union Berlin need to sort themselves out. Saint-Gilloise are beginning to feel a bit under the pump, even though the keeper's still not really been tested. Vantier is obviously one of the most capable players. Just got the ball, looked for someone to pass it to, and ended up hammering out for a corner towards his own goal, about 30 yards from his own goal. So a little opening for Union as they get another couple of subs ready. Now scramble, which Union Saint-Gilloise just about get away. But after that spell where Union Berlin had a spell of pressure, in which they still didn't create an enormous amount, it's gone a little bit flat again. No lack of urgency, but not their normal zip, not their normal flurry of ideas. And Union Saint-Gilloise have defended so well from back to front as well. And on those huge terraces behind the goal and opposite the main stand, pretty much everyone is still here saluting the team. We look a bit down in the dumps, but you know, these lot will be here for the next home game and the one after that and the one after that, like they always are.
The occasion was breathtaking, and as I got myself together, it was even more of a challenge to do so, I imagine, for Jacob Sweetman, who moved to Berlin and began following Union over a decade ago and has now started operating the club's social media output and making English language content for the club. For Jacob, like Oliver, tonight was an absolute high point, regardless of the result.
I've moved to Berlin, and I guess I was wanting something to do normal.
Yes.
And it was the first day of the season. It was the Regionalliga at that time, and Union were at home. I knew nothing about the club, nothing whatsoever. Yeah. But they were at home, so I came along and I got the S-Bahn out to Köpenick, and I was lost and I didn't know where the fuck I was going. And I saw a guy and he said, are you looking for the football? And I didn't speak German. He said, come on me. Fuck off for that. And I said, has it sold out? And he laughed in my face and he said, we haven't sold out a game in 20 years. So he got me a ticket and he got me a beer. And he took me up on the Gegengrade there, up on that old stand where you just were.
Yeah.
There was no roof. There was, and at that point, I think still no one really stood behind the goal. So
right.
The majority of the fans were still on the touchline there.
And what sort of crowd were you looking at, roughly?
Then probably 6,000 maybe, 5,000 maybe, right. First day of the season. Yeah, not many. I think it was Fortuna Düsseldorf. We lost 1-0. Torsten Matuschka missed a penalty. Torsten Matuschka, who would develop, and I swore about this guy. I saw this fat guy playing, who's the worst footballer you've ever seen in your entire life. And within, 8 years, he'd become somehow the best footballer in the second division.
Right.
He was just through his own sheer force of will. And he's one of the most beloved players who's been here in a generation.
We'll dwell on the second division a little bit longer, because we'll talk about the night. I was talking with Oliver about the night where he went up against Stuttgart, mm-hmm. which for him is still the one. But before that, you guys, made a lot of improvements to the stadium. You were saying there was no roof on that stand, and there was no one stood behind the goal. So how did you all come together, and when was the moment to the outside world, that's the moment where you realise Union's different from other clubs, where it's a community, where the fans helped to rebuild the stadium. But what about you? When was the moment you realised that?
Well, I watched it happen. I didn't help build the stadium. My name is not on the Denkmal on the memorial,
right.
for my sins. But it was going on. I was here that first season. That first season in Regionalliga was played here. Mm. And the stadium was a mess. Mm. And then we played the following season in the third division, in the new, brand new third division. Mm. And the last game of the season in the Regionalliga was here. And it was 35 degrees. And there was a red tarpaulin draped over the whole stand. And at the end of the game, people were on the pitch and they were ripping the pitch up, and it was such a big occasion. This is the last day we're at the old Alte Försterei, and I knew something was going on, but I didn't really get it. at that point. And I had a season ticket, and I'd been at my first away games, Rot-Weiss Erfurt, no roof, in the rain, fucking hell, lost 2-0, it was miserable. I was told by a really angry guy in a kilt that there was no space for Englishmen here. And all the time there was this story going on here, and I was coming up here, and you'd occasionally get there was cut friendlies in the winter on the training pitches on the other side there.
Right.
And so you'd come along here and you'd see what was going on, you'd see the work going on, and you knew it was happening. But it was probably only later I realised really the significance of what was going on with the fans literally themselves digging the foundations,
yeah,
laying the concrete. You know, those terraces, those beautiful, clean concrete terraces, were sculpted by amateur hands. Mm. And we reopened it. There was a friendly against Hertha BSC. And it was astonishing. And everyone who'd built the stadium was given this red plastic builder's hat, a hard hat. And they were hugged and kissed by every single other person. And there was not a dry eye in the house. And I was somehow involved in this thing. And I was welcomed. And I was welcomed, apart from the guy with a kilt, I was welcomed by pretty much everybody. And I loved it. And I loved it. I felt like I was a part of something. And I think part of this was being a foreigner in a foreign town. And I wasn't very good at the language. I didn't really know what I was doing here. I was working in a squatted art house in former East Berlin. With sort of artists and musicians, and I played the drums, and I was, you know, I didn't have any grounding in Berlin, and this gave me a sense of place here. It gave me a reason to understand it, and it taught me a story that I think was very important. It's when we look at Berlin and we think about it being this cultural capital, and it's techno, and it's all this cool stuff going on, and there's experimental art scenes and whatever. And you forget that actually there's 3.6 million people living here who just fucking work every day and need something to do, especially if you come from Köpenick. I mean, this is the very fringe of the city. This is this is the outside world. And East Berlin, as East Germany, was treated very, very badly after unification. They were made a lot of promises that were never realised. Mm. And I think it gave them something to do. And I felt really privileged to be a part of that somehow.
So clearly it's been a stratospheric rise in sporting terms over the last couple of years. But having had the European football last year at Hertha, which is obviously an interesting twist from people outside, but, you know, even for people who love Hertha, it's not the same experience. It's chalk and cheese, and especially with it not being your own ground and stuff. How pleasantly surprised were you to discover that you were going to be able to play games here at the Alte Försterei in European competition? And what has it meant to be able to do that tonight?
It makes me so incredibly proud, mostly, of the fans here, of what they've achieved. It turns out that actually Union were fairly well placed in discussions with UEFA about getting standing back in stadiums. This was a thing that we were pushing for. To be able to host this on a night like this, especially when you look at the history of Union in Europe, you know, so you qualify for, you win the East German Cup in 68, and then almost immediately afterwards, the Soviet Union move into Czechoslovakia, and so there's no Eastern Bloc clubs in European football. The year off, they'd qualified for Europe. They're not in it. That's taken away. There you go. They qualified for Europe in 2001 through reaching the cup final, which we lost against Schalke. And then, you know, I mean, there's a game and fans are flying out to the game on September the 11th, 2001. Mm.
And it's like, I mean, this is fucking cursed. Mm. I mean, and then you qualify for Europe, and you've got Corona, and then you've still got to do it at the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
To go through all of that, to come here, to see the looks on those people's faces. And I went and saw a couple of people I used to stand up with behind the goal before I had to move to a new official position this season. And I can't stand in my usual place with my usual people who I'd stood with for 10 years. To see them and the pride they had in being here and hosting this and being able to show the world what this is about.
Yeah.
And you look at that slogan, and it wasn't, we are back where we belong. It was, football is back where it belongs.
Yeah.
And it's about football. It's about community. It's not coming from arrogance, I don't think. I could well up, man. I really could. I mean, it's just, they do.
I'm not going to stop you.
They do things to me. They do things to me, this football club. It's just, it is truly astonishing sometimes. And that was really special. And you watch that after the final whistle. I mean, not a single person left.
No.
Not a single person.
Is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll wait around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.